Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehr, and now we are going to talk about credit scores. Did you just get that sinking feeling of worry in the bottom of your stomach, that anxiety about that mysterious formula that boils your character and trustworthiness down to a single three-digit number? Well, we've got actually some good news, because the Fair Isaac Corporation, the company behind the FICO credit score, is rejiggering its formula, and the change might make your credit score rise. Ross Kenneth Erkin is here to go over the changes. He's the personal finance editor at TheStreet.com. Welcome back to WNYC, Ross.
Thanks so much. Good morning.
So there are two changes to the way the FICO score will be calculated. Medical bills in collection will hurt your score less. And if you've paid a bill that was in collection, it's no longer going to be taken into account for your credit score. So first, let's talk about the medical bill issue. Does this count everything from $1,000 hospital bills from a surgery to a $25 copay that may have slipped through the mail?
I think it's aimed more at that $25 copay. You know, you've changed address, you aren't getting that piece of mail that you owe. So I think people are not necessarily less trustworthy. They're not worse borrowers if they're not paying off that bill. They're just human beings. And you can't really hold them accountable and penalize them because for that credit, that's actually affecting your credit score for about 7.5 years. And you really don't deserve that punishment and to be penalized in that fashion. So it's really looking to eradicate that trend in the economy. And we actually found Elizabeth Warren with her CFPB, the Consumer
Finance Protection Board.
Exactly. That, you know, people are really negligent with this sort of bill because it is so minor often. It is that $25, $30 copay, and 65 million Americans have a debt in collection for medical bills. So, and 77 million Americans in general have an outstanding bill in collection. And because a lot of these are so minor, we want to be able to extend lending to American consumers when they really are trustworthy.
So who's we in that formula? What prompted this change?
So FICO, Fair Isaac Corporation, actually rejiggers its formula every so often, every few years. And in this particular case, it's been 6 years since the last alteration. And part of it was prompted by the focus on healthcare. We've seen a lot with Obamacare. We've seen the CFPB's study that people have been negligent with their medical bills but aren't necessarily bad consumers or high-risk borrowers. So you're finding that it starts at that level from a kind of consumer protection and FICO level, and then it's going in the fall to get passed on to the credit bureaus. So that's Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, and they're the ones that are independently rating your credit history based on your timeliness in terms of paying bills, your various debts that you've taken on, whether it be mortgage or medical or auto loan debt. So all of that gets put into the secret soup, which is, I think, what makes people nervous about credit scores, that it is kind of nebulous how we're rating your trustworthiness. And then early next year, it's predicted that the actual lenders will implement this actual change to the FICO score.
So this is a change for the FICO score. You just mentioned the three credit bureaus. You mentioned that it feels like a nebulous, opaque process for many people who really want a good auto loan rate. So it's an important number. So listeners, if you have questions about what this might mean for your budget, give us a call, 212-433-9692. Again, that's 212-433-WNYC. Is the change retroactive? If I forgot to pay a copay 2 years ago, is it going to get off my credit report, credit score as a result of this change?
Well, that's the big question. So people are penalized for payments that they've even made. So it used to be the case that if you had an outstanding bill and you paid it off, it would still register as a blemish on your credit score. And yes, this change will erase that blemish from your score. So it actually won't happen immediately. It's not as if we're going to see this average 25-point jump in our credit scores, because it does need to go through the fall with the credit bureaus and then with the lenders for actual implementation.
So you mentioned the second change, which is that if you pay off a debt that went into collection, it will no longer affect your credit score once this fully goes into effect. What was the original rationale for if you paid off a debt of still blaming you for it for years after that?
It seems like a very parochial or disciplinary old school sort of punishment. You know, you were negligent once. You thus are labeled a high risk borrower, and you don't deserve the kind of pristine credit that that goes into being, you know, the apotheosis of a borrower. But what I find now, and I think this really reflects more largely on our whole economy, is that we've emerged from the Great Recession. We, you know, are walking on eggshells, but we're a little bit more comfortable, and we want to see people getting out there and borrowing money and buying homes and buying cars. And I think, however insignificant this amount is, you know, if you're going to see your credit score jump 25 points, it's not as if the rays of light are coming down from the heavens for an moment of personal finance. But it actually is a help, and it's going to allow people to be more trustworthy to lenders and, you know, pump more money into the economy at large.
So you've mentioned the 25-point average bump that might be happen as a result of these two changes. I'm presuming that mostly applies to people who have otherwise pretty good credit, and they will see the jump. So it's good for the folks who already had pretty good credit, and for those of us who struggled with bad credit maybe 4 years ago, this might not help so much as far as the score.
Right. It's really looking at whether you have pristine credit and beyond the medical bills that maybe you let linger in your mailbox. And it's allowing you to erase that that blemish and keep the rest of your credit score intact.
Renee in Manhattan has a question that I wonder about all the time. Renee, go ahead. Ask Ross your question.
Yes, good morning. My question is, I have pretty good credit, but recently I had a card that I terminated, and I heard later on that that's a bad thing to do, and I was wondering whether the new legislation will affect that. As a customer, I would like to know that I can say no to credit and not be penalized.
Thanks for your question, Renee. So what is the actual policy on canceling a credit card that you no longer want, you no longer want to have that relationship with that credit card company?
So you're certainly allowed to cancel a credit card, but historically, and Renee, unfortunately, currently, it is going to ding your credit score a little bit. And the logic is that you're only as trustworthy as your longest history of credit. And, you know, if you're taking up a line of credit and then shutting it down, you know, you're somehow wishy-washy, and you're somehow, you know, not as committed to the idea of staying with that line of credit. So it really isn't going to affect you all that much. It might even be some 5 points. If you're continuously opening credit cards and shutting them down, you know, that's a pattern that lenders and rating agencies don't like to see. But you really can rest easy closing that one card.
Any tips on how to monitor our credit reports and credit score? There's annual credit report where you can get a free report from the three credit bureaus. But as far as that three-digit number, what's the best way to monitor it?
I think you actually need to get that annualcreditreport.com, go to it, live by it. You can actually get free reports from the individual bureaus, so Experian, TransUnion, Equifax. And obviously, those won't provide comprehensive analysis, but they will give you an indication of, your vital signs with credit. In addition, you can actually use something like Credit Karma, which will now provide you with a weekly analysis of where your credit is, what your score is. So I think using all of those, you can kind of get a good reading of how you're doing. And most importantly, you're actually able to analyze whether there's an error in your report, because that does happen in, some 25% of reports.
And with Credit Karma, is that a service you have to pay for?
Credit Karma has a free service to actually check your credit report weekly. So it's and it's truly a free service.
They have those sneaky ones
all
over the place.
I know, and it's terrible. And you're almost doing yourself a disservice. You're trying to be a responsible personal finance citizen, and you get done in paying more. But it is something that you do want to check in on and not to be afraid of.
And you mentioned there will be a long tail in the way that these two policy changes will actually be put into effect. Again, this is changing the ways that medical bills and perhaps that old copay bill that you let go into collection because you just forgot about that mail, or if you paid a bill that was in collection and it was paid off, that will no longer be taken into account for your FICO credit score. But I also read that mortgage rates might have the longest tail of all because of the way Fannie and Freddie have dealt with credit scores traditionally. What's the deal there?
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of scrutiny because of the housing crisis about simply giving simple lending to consumers and whether they're worthy or not. And so I think because of that hesitancy, they're actually historically moving more slowly, and particularly now, to implement a policy that essentially is saying, someone who is the same gets a boost. It's almost like scoring a B plus on a test, and potentially now you're getting an A minus, and you're in the top range. And that's particularly concerning for Fannie and Freddie, because with the housing crisis that we experienced and, the subprime credit crisis, you don't want to then 6 years later go and start providing mortgages or approving mortgages for people who might not be trustworthy in the absolute.
Even though the fine folks at FICO have said we are changing the calculation because we think this is more reflective of creditworthiness of borrowers.
Right. Well, I think it's with anything, there is a resistance to change, and each entity is trying to cover its bases. So FICO is wanting to pump more money into the economy. It's allowing for easier lending. But I think the Fannie and Freddie and, housing lenders in general want to be certain that this is the case. So one question that people are wondering, if I'm waiting to buy a house or I'm thinking of buying a house, should I wait until the new FICO score, FICO 9, is implemented so that my credit will rise and I'll get a lower interest rate on my mortgage? And, that seems not the best mindset, because really housing prices are going to rise. The Fed indicates that interest rates are going to rise. So if you hold off with that strategy, you're not necessarily going to be in a winning situation.
Oh, interesting. So your FICO score may be going up in the next couple of months, but Ross Kenneth Erkin from TheStreet.com says that's not a reason to delay a home purchase if you feel ready in all the other parts of your life.
Correct.
Thanks very much for joining us. Ross Kenneth Erkin is the personal finance editor at thestreet.com. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.